Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Literally Gaysian.
Literally Gaysian.
It's literally Gaysian.
Gaysians.
Where we get real about our feelings and literally Gaysian shit. I'm Bao, your host, and here's my co-host, the patron saint of blaming everything on his ADHD, Chris.
That's me. Hello. And if I'm that, then you're the patron saint of blaming everything on your anxiety.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And today, after 22 episodes, 19 guests, and just one rave scandal, we've arrived at our season one finale.
Okay, so we haven't talked in a few weeks now, as we kept putting off this episode.
So I didn't want it to end.
What have you been doing with yourself during this continued fun employment time on your hands, Bao?
So I am not traveling as much, mainly because I can't afford to anymore. So, yes, we're in the same boat. So actually staying put, I call it finding stillness. I can also call it being broke. But I'm consulting now, so I'm getting a little bit of money in and then putting a lot of work into the job hunting still. I'm focused on that. So some days I'm super focused on that, like trying to think about what my client wants and trying to like do some research. And other days I just get lost using like AI tools. I think I'm late to like being in the wonder of the weird AI tools of putting all my data into whatever evil hands or evil supercomputer that's processing it. Because when some days I'm like, I should be using AI to like improve my resume or my cover letter. But then like the other day I spent 4 hours and like $17. Okay, no wonder I'm broke. But like $17 paying some AI thing to try different hairstyles on myself.
You couldn't just do it to your own hair?
No, no. It was, you know, like, you know that day when I texted you, hey, what do you think I would look like in a Caesar cut?
And that's where your money went.
And then you're like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know either. Then I'm like, oh. And so, yeah, I spent four hours, $17. They gave me the weirdest haircut trends, but they're funny. So maybe I'll post them later. But like, it's all like super ponytail with a long, it's just really funny. And I don't look good in a Caesar if anyone's wondering. I spent so much time on that. I'm like, the sun had set and like, it was time for dinner by the time I looked up. But spending a lot of time in LA means that I've got to be here for a while and like really go out every weekend. And so Halloween was so fun. We were going to go to Pegasus. It got canceled like it always does. So we went to Port Detroit and my favorite trashiest place in LA, Reload.
Oh, I know the Reload.
What was your impression of Reload when you went?
I remember that I could not find the exit. I didn't know where I was in the place because it is so dark and they keep flashing strobe lights at you. So you never know which direction you're headed. Sometimes I might run into like a railing. Sometimes I might be taking a step off of a staircase, and sometimes I'm running into somebody's dick. I just don't know what's going to happen there, and it's a little exciting.
I went for Halloween, right? So it's like literally a horror film. Like there's like intense music. No one's around. It'd be very easy to get murdered in there. But I still love it so much. It's like the because it's so trashy, it makes it so fun. And like you're not supposed to do it. And it's, when you're not supposed to be at something like that, it just makes it seem a lot more like intriguing for me. And they fixed the AC. So I think fixing the AC helps because it used to be like a tropical thunderstorm inside. Like, remember that one time I came back from Reload because I stayed there longer while you guys left? And literally my socks were completely soaked.
I think somebody took their tank top off and wrung the sweat out of it.
Yes, and just from dancing. It was so gross, but they fixed that. And then 2 weeks ago, maybe this is why we put out this episode for so long because I've just been partying. The last weekend, a bunch of North America's Ravergasians, they were in LA for Dream State.
Dream State.
Dream State. Meme state. I mean, I didn't go. I did go to Peggy. This is what Arthur's nickname for Pegasus. He's like, let's go to Peggy. And it was fun. They didn't close it. But I'd also feel like, you know, what you said when it was Folsom, like when I roll now, I just feel like kind of woozy. My inhibitions are gone. I kind of become like a drive-by makeouter. I'm just like, whatever, whoever's mouth is free. If you ever want to make out with me and I give you bad vibes, like that's a good time to try to make out with me. But I'm like you. I just... Unlike Troye Sivan, don't feel the rush. I don't feel high, or that like flying feeling anymore. And I feel like my brain is like my STIs. They're like my depression. It's just drug resistant.
Okay, you've been working on that one for a while, haven't you?
I know. I love that one. And because it's in my notes app, I can't tell whether I came up with it or stole it from TikTok. But you never know. how have you been?
Oh my God, since we last spoke, I feel like so much seems to have happened. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I've stopped bleaching my hair. I'm trying to grow it out.
Look at us.
The scalp burn was getting too much, and I wasn't getting laid. So
really?
People don't like the colored hair.
Interesting.
And now people are saying it makes me look younger, so I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, when I went platinum and I posted on my stories, of course, because I was going through a crisis. We both were. And my friends with benefits, the one that I used to see all the time, said, you're still cute, but I prefer guys with darker hair. And the next time we hooked up, he's like, he's always like, what underwear are you wearing? Wear this underwear. And he said, wear a hat.
It's like when people tell you to keep the lights low. Oh my God. Yeah. It's like when I also had long hair and I had long curly hair and I loved it. And it just like the bleached hair, the haircut is for me. It's not for others. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the two times I had really long hair down past my chin, those were my driest years. It just doesn't happen. Same with the bleached hair. I love it for me, but nobody else does.
So I have a question. When I first met you and you had a rat tail, how was your game then?
That was probably not one of the good years.
Oh, see, you never know what people will be into.
But I was still young and twinkie, so people could look past that.
Yeah. You also had a birthday last week, right?
I just turned 44 last week, and it's wild because it's technically my mid-40s now, and I sometimes forget how old I am, but I'm going to still tell people I'm in my early, late, middle 30s, 40s, see which one they pick up on, and I had people over for my birthday and before going out, a little pregame before going to see Gorgon City, which was amazing.
I always love a good Gorgon City.
But the huge deal was having people over because I haven't. Everyone keeps on saying, when are you going to have your housewarming? I've been here for 9 months and haven't invited anyone over except like guys that I'm fucking. And I took my ADHD meds regularly for the past few weeks, and I've really got it like set up. And so I was really happy about that because I haven't been really happy about my place. It's today I discovered a mouse.
What?
You know, the house is crooked. The windows don't all close, so it's really noisy. There's always heat coming from the floors because the hot water runs under it. So it's always really hot. But I do not want to move again. So I'm just trying to love my place. And when I unpacked, it just felt a lot better. And the best part about it was during the piece housewarming birthday, my drag sisters tried to roast me.
Oh.
And it was funny. Half their jokes were about my hoarding and they didn't land because my place was beautiful. Oh. Nobody laughed. They were laughing at the roasters because they were doing such a bad job. So fuck all of y'all. I'm still the better roaster.
The joke's on them. You grew and you evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Their jokes didn't.
But then afterwards, after Gorgon City, we went to Rhonda, you know, like where it started in, what, L.A., and they've come to SF. And let me tell you, I've been fooled too many times by their lack of effort on the San Francisco Rhonda. It was advertised as two floors and that they want to resexualize San Francisco. But they didn't even put this on their IG. It's as if the event wasn't even happening. Because when we got there, they had half of the first floor open, curtained off. And the second floor wasn't open. Nobody was there. It was dead. And the music was super unsexy. It was terrible. And it wasn't like, I kept wanting to like chalk it up to, oh, it's what the young kids listen to now. But I'm like, no, this is just bad music. Gay parties that play house music should be sexy, not this like shit that they were playing. And they haven't had a good Rhonda in SF since like David Harness and Ms. Worthy DJ'd them. Mm-hmm. I left after 20 minutes. And everybody was shocked because I never leave a party. Never leave a party early. So
you are you were definitely angry at them. You were definitely on a cake. And you know what? It is weird in SF. I don't think that's going to last any longer. LA is very different. LA, they have this like this party right before Thanksgiving, like Wednesday night. I didn't go this year. I went last year, but it was like one of the best parties I went to in LA. This year, they even had Caroline Palachek, my favorite.
Our favorite.
Our favorite DJing, and it was packed, and it just like was fun. I do feel like every party now that's sort of like hipster gay, at some point they play house up to maybe 10:30, 11 or 12, and then I feel like they switch the DJs and it's their cue to kick anybody 30 and above away, like go home old people, because it's like the hard super fast industrial music.
Yeah, they're doing the techno and the hard style, and I'm like, and then you look around and it's just like, oh, all the young twinks are still here, they like it.
Or like a whole new crowd comes at that time. And I'm like, oh, they're transitioning crowds. And I tell my friends, they're kicking the old people out. Let's go find some old school hip hop to dance to, or like some house remixes and in Gorgon City, because they're kicking us out.
It's like the old days when we used to go to Fresh and yes. You would see that shift of the people that drink to the people that don't drink. Like all the people that drink, they've gotten so wasted, they left. And then now it's like the late night partiers that are still out. It is such a different vibe.
I really miss those days. Ruby Sky, Fresh and stuff.
Oh my God. And otherwise, you know, after all those, like that bad party, I was like, kind of just like, wasn't in a good mood. So it's been kind of a quiet birthday week. And I was just getting sad about the fun employment part of life lately. Days are passing by faster. And just like you, sometimes I feel like I've done nothing. I might spend 4 hours on TikTok or something. Mm-hmm. And my unemployment ran out last month, so it's just making me more anxious. So
yeah.
That's where I'm at.
I've realized that those hard days are temporary, and they're a signal for me to do something different. Like that routine is not working, the whatever routine that is not working for me anymore. But it's so funny because even when I'm in it, I'm like, why am I feeling this way again? Oh, this is chronic for me. Like, why is this so sad? And then I realized, oh, wait, this happened 4 months ago and this is what you did and you felt better. Anyway, hopefully it gets better for you because it is kind of a bitch just sitting around all day while all your friends are doing stuff. Yeah. Have money to do stuff. Yeah.
And I think we both said this like several months ago. We got to go easier on ourselves, but sometimes it's really easy to forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because of all this sadness that we're in our fun employment, and also the partying that we've been doing, we are severely late on this last episode. I personally am so sorry about that, even though literally no one.
No one.
Nobody, baby. Nobody.
No one was looking for it. No one even noticed. But I can't believe we finished one whole season of this.
And it's so wild because when we first started this, we kept saying, oh, maybe we'll just do 6 episodes the first season. Keep it simple. Just have a few things. See if people like it. Maybe we'll get canceled. And because honestly, I really didn't know who'd want to listen to us besides just our friends, if even them. Because I still know several of our friends haven't listened to even one single episode. But that's okay. I'm not mad at them. And then minus a few haters and that guy on Grindr who said he loved me from the podcast and was catfishing me using photos of someone I actually knew. That was really weird, but I'm glad other people are liking us.
Yeah, I more than a few times have hooked up with a listener, but they've always said, you cannot talk about this on the podcast.
Yes.
So I'm not a material girl. I'm not a material for the Be Real. No. And you know what? I feel like I have to say this. If you're a friend who doesn't listen to the podcast, that's okay. You decided it's not for you. Jesus. I feel like sometimes I hang out with friends and they're like, I'm so sorry I didn't listen to the last episode yet. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not expecting that. As if like, oh God, I'm going to see Bao today, but like, God, I haven't listened to the last episode. What if he talks about it? I was like, girl.
Friendship cut off.
Friendship cut off. No, like I know you have other things to do than listen to this. You can listen to it anytime you want. Whoever's going to find it is going to find it. It's going to be fine. So whoever listening that's our friends and feel nervous about, do not feel nervous about the fact you haven't listened to an episode.
Yeah.
If you don't want to listen to it, it's fine.
You
can choose. Yes. Yes. But what are we doing for this final episode?
We're going to do something special for this final episode because it's our first season. It's going to be about our guests, you guys.
Yes, we're finally getting to you guys. So throughout the season, you sent in questions to us, me and Chris, to completely unqualified people to give you advice.
Severely unqualified advice. We're both between boyfriends, we're both unemployed, and we both be broke as fuck.
And on top of that, we're impulsive, we have ADHD and anxiety.
Sometimes both at the same time. Yes. Yet you lovely listeners with low standards still chose to solicit our advice.
So we're going to hear from you, the listeners. We're going to get real deep into the tea of your juicy dilemmas and in the end get real about how we feel about it. So I think we should get into it.
Yes, let's do this. Okay, our first question comes from a listener named Edison.
Hi, Bao and Chris. I was wondering, what is your take on being friends with the one that you used to love and how to manage the friendship? I know it happens in the gay community, but more insight will help. Thank you for making this podcast.
All right, don't ya? I mean, we're both still friends with our exes, or at least some of them. What do you think? What's been your experience?
I guess I've been lucky that I spent my younger years avoiding emotions that I didn't have, like these crazy bad breakups. Though maybe those lack of emotions is what led to them, the breakup.
Suppression.
I've managed to more than stay in touch with, as they're like actually still huge parts of my life. So worked out for me, and I'm very, I guess, pro friends with your relationships. I know so many people like said to me, nope, my rule is never friends with my exes. And I find having this hard and fast rule kind of limits, your ability to enjoy like a potentially really good friend, long-term friend. I used to find it funny in that section of Grindr profiles where people say they're seeking friends, kind of funny. I'm like, it's Grindr. Who's seeking friends? But recently,
a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when it clicked for me, when some people were telling me, like, new friends that I've made that have moved to San Francisco, new city, they don't know anybody. They meet people on Grindr as friends. They sleep with them, date them, and that's how they create their friend groups. And I guess maybe now it feels more normalized, where I would have, like, looked kind of down upon that before. And, yeah, that's you date friends, you were into them for some reason, you connected, so why can't you connect as friends?
Yeah, and I went to a potluck birthday party thing a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, how do you know this birthday boy? He's like, oh yeah, we went on 3 dates, but we decided to be friends, and we're good friends now. And it's just like, matter of fact. And you find that common when people meet on Grindr. And I mean, I have friends, maybe friends with benefits, that I've met through like dates on Hinge. But you know, once in a while, I'm like, hey, you talked about a good resume writer. Who's the resume writer you used? So it's I think it's less of like a hard line, especially in the queer community. And I understand that you might be in a new, I wish I had that, like I'm moving to a new city when I moved to San Francisco. Cause I do remember that first year feeling really lonely before I kind of met my, group of friends. And, you know, if I had like a Bumble friends or if I used Grindr at the time, maybe I would have found new ways or more ways to meet people. So I totally see that.
Mm-hmm. And I think like the hardest part, like if it was someone that you dated, is the remembering that the hardest part of it, the breakup emotions, are going to pass eventually. Mm-hmm. And that's much easier to get on that friendship path.
Yeah.
But what do I know? Because you can measure the time. I haven't dated someone in decades now. So like I said, maybe not the best person to ask this advice, but that's my thinking.
Dude, you have the experience. You dated someone for like 10 plus years and you're still friends with them. Mm-hmm. That's not something a lot of people can do. And I agree with you. Like, you take your time to Edison. Just take your time. It's a cliche that we hear all the time, but like, put in the work. Like, work through your shit. He probably has shit to work through, or they probably have shit to work through. And from my experience, I think you both need to like apologize and forgive each other for whatever you may have held some baggage, mistrust, or ill feelings about. And when you're ready to accept that trauma and move on, I think that's when you're ready to be friends. And you know this, I dated my ex for 5 years, and you're close friends with him. And mm-hmm. What I realize is there's very few people in my life that I have actually spent that much time with. Very few humans on this world where I've actually spent that much time with, where I'm that comfortable in silence with, who knows me that well. Like someone who you'd prefer to do a long drive with because they know when to talk and they know when to just like let you listen to your podcast.
I totally feel that.
Yes, right? With like your ex just kind of knows, can feel and sense in this way, like the real you versus the maybe the friend you that your friends know, which mm-hmm. is sometimes like a performance or sometimes like a people-pleasing thing. And so I felt like if I just like shunned this person away from my life, who knew me so intimately, to be like a sudden stranger, I would lose this person. Also, it kind of helped that like my ex and I broke up and then I moved to another city and then like he was friends with all y'all. So like, yeah, for all y'all, we wanted to make it work. Mm-hmm. And I think it was hard and awkward at first when everything's so raw and we're still kind of working it out. And then it got better. And now we're super close friends, and I'm super close friends with his boyfriend. And I just want to say like it took a lot of time though. It didn't just happen overnight. Like this was like almost 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, the old, like, I mean, even ancient ways people teach us about exes is that like they can't be friends, you know, like you can't trust your partner's ex. Like there's like, how many movies are there about that, right? Like the evil ex.
I find that so wild and just maybe kind of heteronormative in a way too. Like, why is there so much jealousy? Maybe there's something else wrong with that relationship instead.
Yeah. Or like maybe people have not worked through their shit. I think being from a family that's has my parents are divorced, and they had to like eventually learn how to be friends because they were going to co-parent both of us. And I think seeing that, like, eventually they got to that space, even though I thought they would never get to that space, made me realize like that's like possible. And I do think in some cases you can't trust that ex. Like, what if the ex is super abusive? There's some exes that I don't talk to,
of course,
or they did something so unforgivable. But you know, when it's not, that's sort of our story. So the advice to Edison is, before you go and be friends with your exes full throttle, think through all the feelings that are preventing you from feeling that comfortable being friends with him now. Like, make a list of it. Like, are you afraid of getting back together because you think it's going to be this constant cycle of like an unhealthy like relationship with each other? Like, are you still angry about something they did? Are they still super angry at something you did? Do you feel super guilty about something like you did? Like, list them all out one by one and figure out how you're going to process those feelings. And then he has to kind of do that work too. And when you're ready, have that conversation. Like, me and my ex had this conversation when we were ready. We were just like rolling on Molly and then probably a little drunk. But we had this conversation. Like, I'm going to own up to some things that I did wrong. And I think when I did that, like, for those next 3 years, you couldn't really trust me anymore. And he kind of, and I said, like, I need to hear you say that you're sorry for this one thing. I actually had to say it. Like, for us to be friends, I actually need to hear you say I'm sorry. And he said, like, I'm genuinely so sorry about that. And after that, I think we were able to move on and then not hold any kind of ill feelings with each other. But I think it takes time to get to that space, because I didn't really feel that 1 month, even 1 year after we broke up. It's got there like maybe 2 years after, but it's possible.
Maybe the hard and fast rule after a breakup is that you're only allowed to have sex 3 times after the breakup, and you have to decide what to do.
Or maybe you can only get back together 3 times. After that, like, your friends don't have any reason to support you anymore. Yeah, no more patience. There's no logical reason for your friends to support you in that anymore. Okay, for our next question, we're going to hear from Tim. So let's roll the clip.
Question for Bao and Chris. What was the most embarrassing thing you've done when having sex?
Wait, don't you? Ooh, are you ready? You go first.
Sometimes I try to think back and to choose. Like, I have so many things to choose from. They're not all really that bad. But when I heard this question, I had to think about it. And it all adds up to make me wonder, I sure do a lot of embarrassing things. And is this way I don't get like many return calls or hookups? I mean, I've like fallen off the bed and almost got a concussion.
I remember that one.
But one that comes to mind instantly is the time I unknowingly found myself as a third wheel on someone else's date.
What?
Like, this guy I used to hook up with called me and said, oh, come meet me at the Pilsner bar. And I get there. He says, oh, yeah, one of your friend that you know is with me. And some guy I used to know a long time ago, but they happened to be on a date. But they invited me on it. And then...
Wait, how did you find out that they were on a date? Did they say, like, we're on a date?
Yes.
Or did you have to, like, pick up... Okay, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Well, at least they were upfront with you.
And wanted to invite me because I was a common friend. But then the other guy, he says, oh, yeah, let's go to my place and let's all smoke out. And I'm like, okay, I'm not really a smoker. I didn't do any drugs then. And he then also goes, invites his boyfriend. So he's got a boyfriend going out on a date with this other guy, invites me, and turns into a surprise orgy, which
what?
I got super anxious about because it was an unintentional orgy. And though it might sound hot to some people, I was very young and precocious and I had no idea what I was doing. So not only did we break the bed when we got on it.
this is before Casper mattresses, girl.
It just made me more anxious. So I smoked more weed. Which then made me more paranoid that I just sat next to the bed smoking more, and I became immovable, like this high mess, while everyone fucked next to me. Oh, God. It was super awkward, which I actually now makes me think of the time when I was at an intentional orgy mm-hmm. on the gay cruise, like a little while back, and everyone is having sex except me. But surrounding me, they're all like these guys fucking around me, and I was just inebriated playing Wordle. So I guess the lesson is don't invite me to an orgy because it's not going to be a good time for anyone involved.
Oh my God. I remember when orgies were so unintentional. This was before, like, I guess, what's it called now? Ethical non-monogamy. Mm-hmm. Like a surprise orgy is not like cool anymore, right?
I don't know. You dropped me off at another surprise orgy once. They.
Oh yes, when I had yeah.
I didn't know what to do, but I was like, I said to you, I'm going to do it for the story. I never knew who was going to tell the story, but I guess the world now where I show up and all of a sudden someone else shows up at the door and then another person, and they invited people over thinking everyone would say no, but everyone said yes. And yeah, it was a little awkward. So yeah, did it for the story. And here goes the world knowing it.
Wait, remember when we used to like, speaking of doing it for the story, used to like go out and I like not sleep maybe Saturday. So like maybe go out Saturday night and like not sleep until Sunday. So we're at the end up and then we would go, they end up in SF. And then like when they end up closed, we would go to like the mix in the Castro at 7 a.m. with all the other like low lives.
Well, don't forget Monroe, the afters.
Oh, Monroe, afters, and then to the mix, which is like probably like the morning after at this point. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
it's the six bars in San Francisco that opens at 6 a.m.
Yes, they open at 6 a.m. again. So I disappeared for a while because I went home with somebody. It's this guy. I went home with this guy. We don't see anybody. And then I show up at the mix with them, and everyone's like, oh, okay.
That's where you were doing. Too.
And with him, well, okay. I'm not going to say who he is. Then we kept going out. Like, we went to the cafe. We were kept going out until, like, maybe 7 p.m. And then, like, stumbled way home. The next morning, you messaged me.
Oh, my God. I know what you're talking about now.
What did you message me?
I think... I ran into the same guy who then came home with me.
Yes.
And you know what made it even? Okay, I forgot about this. Another awkward sex story because we had partied all night. And so we hadn't slept. And clearly he hadn't slept because he was with you. And we thought it was a great idea to try to have sex on a Molly, and it was, but then, like, you know, nobody could get hard, and then he didn't want to have sex with me because he felt like he didn't want to disrespect you. I was like, fuck this shit.
I love how he didn't want to just disrespect me, but you were like, game on. And I didn't feel racist. I thought it was the most hilarious story.
Except I didn't get any that night because we both fell asleep because we hadn't gotten no rest for the whole weekend.
You know what? Sometimes you don't need to get any. Sometimes you just need a cuddle. So hopefully you got a cuddle out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope my snoring kept him awake.
You're undiagnosed sleep apnea at the time.
No, diagnosed. Oh, no, yeah. Not at the time.
Not at the time. We've been living with your undiagnosed sleep apnea for a while. All right, so I think I have a couple of stories. This is going to be a pretty long segment of this episode. I think in the kink episode, I already talked about the first time I tried rope bondage and started bawling, which is normal, so I'm not ashamed of it anymore. Thank you, Zed. But I don't have any embarrassing stories. I just have funny stories I want to tell, so let's just start from there. So In the spirit of Dream Girls, in the spirit of Golden Girls, picture this. Folsom Weekend, 2022. I'm at the closing kink party real bad. It's really hard to get a ticket in there. This was last year. I'm newly unemployed. I'm newly platinum blonde, really feeling it. Never had been platinum blonde in my life. My best jock strap and Air Force Ones.
Not the Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones. You got a cosplay circuit sometimes. And I'm stuck in the middle of the crowd, right? So then I have a full-on panic attack. because I feel stuck because I look at the bathroom signs and they're really far away from me, and even the emergency exit signs and they're far from me. And if there was an emergency, I would be completely stuck. So my anxiety just shot up and I started feeling all these symptoms of a panic attack. You know, I had a couple of panic attacks before, so I'm like, okay, I know what to do. Stay calm, find a friend, ask them, can you just like hug me and breathe with me? It's like up and down. And then after I did that for a while, I felt fine, but like was still pretty shaken after that because I'm just like, God, I don't know. Am I ever going to get over these panic attacks? And then fast forward 20 minutes later, I think you have a panic attack or like a really severe K-hole, like one of those, or maybe it's both. And when you got out of it, like we walk upstairs and just try to like chill or try to find a seat where no one was fucking sucking or fisting, because real bad is kind of like one of those parties. And while we were chilling, an old worker of mine came up to me and he's like a super tall, nice guy from Arkansas. And we worked together. He had a little crush on me. He was always like introduce me to his friends. We were out as like, meet Bao, my future ex-husband. And he was just like kind of hilarious like that. And he could say whatever he wants because he has that like disarming Southern accent. And he was so high and like kind of maybe on G and like really friendly. And he was saying stuff like, Bao, I still have such a crush on you. And I'm just like, huh, that's cute. You know, it's making me feel a little bit better because I actually just had a panic attack down there and I'm feeling kind of out of it. And he's like, well, at my last real bad, I had a panic attack too when I saw my ex fucking some guy. And I was like, okay, well, and then I felt connected to him. Like I felt kind of disarmed by what he said. And then he suddenly like, would it make you feel better if I ate your ass?
Wait, didn't this happen like 10 feet from me while I was going through my panic attack?
Literally right next to you. Literally right next to you. And I was just kind of shocked. I'm like, oh no, I'm here taking care of my friends. And this is really forward. But you know what? I told him, you know what? That would make me feel a lot better. And he's like, Bao Viet Nguyen, say no more. And then he just like leaned me against the pillar across the room from you guys. Just like went to town. Like I could see in the corner of my eye one of our friends was looking at me. And then, you know, I was just like, fuck it. If rimming my ass heals my depression, heals my anxiety, then let it be. Just accept it. And, you know, and after that, I was just like, thank you. I just really needed that. So.
Oh my God. Is that why when you were when you came up to console me through my panic attack, you were so upbeat and helpful? I think you reached that place.
I know that cloud just got lifted from me. And I'm like, you know what? I've had a good time. There's nothing heals my depression better than getting my ass eaten out.
I was wondering why you were being so like, just like really nice to pull me out of that thing. I was like, where is he getting this energy from? Rimming.
Okay, one more. Picture this. Dory Alley weekend, 2015. So this is a while ago. I still with my ex, or just maybe started dating him for a year. And we had like this wild night together, just us, nothing crazy. No unintentional or intentional orgies. It was just us with a bunch of the toys I kind of kept under our bed. And we had fun. I went to bed. Sorry, I'm burping. A little buzz because we had some drinks. Anyway, I woke up in the middle of the night needing to pee. So then I tried to get out of bed, but like I realized like I couldn't feel the floor. Like there's just like a bunch of shit. I'm like, you know, there's harnesses and stuff, but I just felt like my foot just felt a bunch of like rubbery objects under my belt. Rubbery objects under my feet. And I lost my balance and I felt sideways and like hit the nightstand. And I was so drunk that I was like, oh, that was just a little fall. I'm just going to go pee and then like go back to bed. So when I woke up in the morning, the right side of my shirt was like caked in blood, like dried blood. It got all over the bed. And I had this huge gash, like 7 inches long near my ribs. And I looked around and realized like, oh, when I got up to pee, I stepped in that bag of sex toys, that bag of dildos. And I gashed myself against the sharp corner of that cheap IKEA nightstand. That gash literally took 1 year to heal. And there's still like kind of a scar there. And remember when you first saw that scar and you gave me this nickname What was the nickname?
Dildo Baggins.
Dildo Baggins in the Shire. Oh, every time I look at that scar, I remember that story. Bag of dildos, Dildo Baggins.
It's like your tattoo. You're going to remember it for life.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. We have more questions. The next one comes from Mike in California.
Hi, Bao and Duncha. Love the podcast and the relatable dialogue you're providing for our community. I just want to acknowledge that running the show takes a lot of time and thoughtfulness, and I really appreciate you guys. Here's my question around the intersection of relationship and friendships. What's your advice slash perspective for having a shared friend group versus different friend groups? Which one would you choose?
All right, so I think it's nice to have different friend groups. I don't think one friend group can really nourish all the different parts of myself. And so I've come to find, like, when you reject or you're, like, not paying attention to one certain friend group, you're kind of, like, neglecting a part of yourself. I mean, that's just me. That's what I've kind of experienced. I feel like my life in SF, my life was at least 95% gay. Like, I've only hung out with this one group. I mean, I loved it. I love you guys. It's what I needed at the time. But it came, sometimes came at the expense of not seeing my other friends or, like, not seeing my family as much. And as I've gotten older, I've learned to balance that more. Like, I have certain friends that like the same music, certain friends who like to party, certain friends who have loud opinions like I do about, like, pop music, movies, and TVs. And I have friends who are, like, maybe on the more, like, therapy, emotionally intelligent side. And then I have friends who, like, get me professionally or get my ambition. And they don't all have to be in one group. They can just be, like, different friends that I hang out with different times. And so I'd like to believe that if I got in a relationship, I'd still be able to maintain this and make some space for my partner's friends and their lives. But I tend to think, to your partner's friends, you're just a side character. Your partner's the main character. You know, like, you don't have to expect to be, like, the best friend, to be as good of friends with your partner's friends as they are with their friends, and vice versa. Like, you're the main character in your friend group, and your boyfriend is a side character. And sometimes, like, maybe the first side character, maybe bigger than that. When you can forge connections with your partner's friends, that's great. But, like, you don't have to force it and feel, like, guilty about not forcing it. Honestly, if your partner's, like, pressuring you or, like, I don't know, they shouldn't be pressuring you to be, quote unquote, that much closer to, like, their friends if there's no connection there.
I find that it's great if, like, your friend group, like, your relationship friends and friend group can coalesce and be that. But sometimes I kind of joke, is that poor planning for the breakup? Like, who's gonna own the friends?
Who's gonna get custody? Who's gonna get custody?
Yeah.
And a shared custody is always awkward for the friends.
That? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes everyone is that close. And, you know, that kind of, you know, has happened with some of us that we still mm-hmm. have maintained those friendships. But I don't know. I can't personally speak from recent experience because, you know, once again, decades have passed, but I do also think that it's important to have both because, you know, I think not even the two people, like, or more in the relationship have to have everything the same, including friends, I think they should live different lives with different friend groups who all add to, like, their, like, personalities. And then you also have something to talk about when you get home with each other. If you're doing the same thing with each other every day, in and out, with all the same friends, then you get home and what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, there's nobody to talk shit about. You need to be able to, like, have other people to let loose about your partner or partners or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not necessary to have all the same friends, but it's nice to have at least some of the same friends.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I know I said that thing about, like, you know, the partner is the main character in their friend group and you're the side character, but I'm, like, kind of thinking about, like, some couples I know. I'm like, they both become the main characters, you know? Mm-hmm. Even though I know one of the boyfriends longer, like, the other one has literally, like, has the same place, you know, as a main character. So there's some people who can work their way up to that, and it just depends on the connection, because that's definitely not the case with every couple that I know, you know?
Clearly, we have no advice for you. It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, or, like, just lead by connection, honestly. Mm-hmm. Just lead by connection. Like, they're going to be some of the friends that your boyfriend has that are you're going to really connect with, and some that you don't. Still try, but like, don't try to force it.
Yeah, it's fine. You don't have to be best friends with all of your partner's friends. Sometimes it's just not going to work.
All right, and we're going to have one more question from you guys after this break.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
And we're back, and you're tuned into the season finale of Literally Gaysians, where we're giving extremely unqualified advice to our listeners. And our next question comes from Daryl.
Hey guys, Daryl here, longtime listener and based in San Francisco. We've heard of girl math, boy math, and even gay math. So my question for you two is, what's Gaysian math? Here are some I thought of. Gaysian math is identifying as top only, or maybe only bottoming for someone who's as masculine as you or more, because you think it challenges Asian male stereotypes. Gaysian math is working out so much to get the body you want, then going out to a rave, circuit party, or hompa, and still feeling fat or insecure next to guys whose bodies are similar to yours. Gaysian math is posting about pro-Asian and gay rights movements on social media, but not engaging with other political issues like hashtag Free Palestine, hashtag ceasefire now. Curious to hear what you two came up with. Thanks for having me on the podcast. Bye.
Oh my God. I love it.
I love Daryl. He always has some great spicy ass commentary after each episode. And this one was coming in hot. I don't know. I feel like we should respond to his Gaysian math.
Okay.
Okay. So he said, Gaysian math is working out, but going to a circuit party and still feeling fat.
Oh my God. I still so clearly remember the first circuit party I went to. I was 32, but I was still an emaciated twink. But somehow I simultaneously felt both fat and skinny at the same time. It was wild. Like, our Gaysian math is drinking G to save on the carbs and stay skinny and save money, but pay $10,000 for an ambulance bill.
Ooh, girl, you went there. You went there. Hopefully it doesn't happen a lot anymore, but I felt like when we started partying 10 years ago, that happened a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But thankfully, everyone's still safe. Everyone's still safe mm-hmm. and alive.
And we learned. We grew.
We grew. We evolved. The community evolved. Everyone knows how to dose now. That ambulance bill kept people alive. So that's
maybe you should have had Kaiser.
All right, let's go to the deep one. Okay. Gaysian math is posting about anti-Asian hate, but not saying anything on hashtag Free Palestine or hashtag ceasefire. I mean, I can start with this. Girl, we're getting there.
Go ahead.
She went there. Okay, I do agree. I feel like maybe on some level I'm at fault here on this one, because I've finally posted a few times on this because I do support Free Palestine and support the ceasefire and hope it continues to last. But you know, after BLM, it's hard for me to not feel stuck between what is the appropriate amount of support, what is virtue signaling, and what is silence. And I feel like I can sometimes stick myself into like being afraid I'm virtue signaling about some topic that I don't know of. And then I can falter into silence. And now people are saying like silence is like bad, basically.
I mean, because I feel you on that. I find so much of it performative, and I don't want to be that guy either.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're a fucking Gaysian DJ in New York. What the fuck do you know about this whole conflict? You know, it's like, I want to hear from the experts. I am not looking to some, you know, Jason Chang in New York for the news and the most informed take on Free Palestine.
And I think it's okay to have feelings about it, but sometimes maybe take a beat before you post something. Reread it. Think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one's posted anything that problematic, but I just didn't want to be Justin Bieber. Do you know what Justin Bieber did?
Didn't he like post something like really fast, like after like the event started, and it was super uninformed, like beyond uninformed. What was it?
I feel like it was like, and we're going to get this wrong, so don't cancel us, but I feel like, well, it's just Justin Bieber. I feel like he posted pray for Israel, and then it was a picture or like video of the Gaza Strip.
Palestine.
So he was first to post, right? And then he took it down and he finally got something right. But I'm just like, why are we looking to celebrities or people completely uninformed on this topic or the history of similar topics for their take on this? And if you have a take on it, it's sort of like in an echo chamber. So I feel like share things from experts. Yes. Go to the actual rallies. I haven't been to one, but go to the actual rallies and the ceasefire. And I realized like maybe I have had this discomfort with speaking out on this topic because like it really brought me back to like my whole family's generational trauma about the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And when I see images of these children with everything, these families with everything packed in like one suitcase trying to flee, I just think about like, okay, this is going to fuck up that family for a few generations. Like it fucked up my family for a few generations. Mm-hmm. And that just made me just like really sad. So just like, it was really processing how like, oh God, this is like almost 40 years later after this other war, or more than 40 years after this other war, almost 50 years. And this shit's still happening in another part of the world. And it was hard for me to maybe find the empathy because it maybe triggered me a lot. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not on my Instagram stories trying to find DJ Jason Chang's take on Free Palestine, but you should still support it and support the ceasefire. I would rather like get an actual expert, an academic. I follow Viet Thanh Nguyen and he has some really good takes on this, tying it to histories of war and American colonialism. So I feel like that's great. A lot of Filipino American friends are making really great connections to this, you know, settler colonialism and their experiences in a Filipino history. So yeah, those that's expertise and that's really good opinions. But I feel like if you don't really have a great opinion, don't share it. Just share other great opinions. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's our gauge of math on that. Share someone smarter than you.
Share someone smarter than you. What are some of... Okay, so like I feel like he came up with good ones. We should come up with a few. So let's hear what your gauge of math is, don't you?
Just this past week, Badlands reopened. And so... they're not my favorite place, but it's telling your friends we're only going out for one drink, but going during the 2-for-1 happy hour.
Fucking Asian people trying to save money.
Mm-hmm.
And the math ain't making sense. All right. Okay. One for me. So Gaijin math is trying to save $10 on cover by getting to the club before 11 p.m., but then proceeding to spend $120 on a bag of K.
Girl, we are the same. Yeah, we got the same math skills, same teacher.
You know what? Those $10 just go to the K stash. So I guess it makes sense.
Gaijin math is requesting the BIPOC or low income discount code for the parties, then using that code on the VIP ticket.
You do that?
I know someone who has. Well, I was going to put that... I mean, that's so rude, but it'll happen.
Wow. I didn't realize you can ask for a BIPOC discount.
It's not advertised very much, rightfully so-ish, but but more, I guess, progressive promoters are doing that. And it's great. Mm. I think it's especially becoming a thing in San Francisco to try to bring more people out.
So how do you do it? How do you get the BIPOC discount if you're BIPOC?
You click on contact organizer and you just send a question. Hey, do you got a discount code? Girl.
Oh.
Us saying this, oh my God, I think I'm going to ruin it for everyone. They're all going to get rid of them after this.
Yeah. They're going to be like, BIPOC, except the Asians. Except gay Asian men. Gaijin Math is hating on white men on TikTok, but sleeping exclusively with them on Sniffies.
Girl, you was wrong for that.
I am so right. And I'm not speaking from experience, but you know those people. You know those people. Mm-hmm.
We know many of them. It's more of that the secret politics that you do. You know, it's the performative politics.
Performative.
Okay, so my Gaijin Math from personal experience is douching for the first time in my life 3 times at the cruise and getting fucked 0 times.
Girl, for the first time, you douched for the first time on the cruise?
Yeah, I was in my 40s. I am in my 40s. First time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry to all the men who have fucked me that I didn't douche for.
I was like, sometimes, most of the time it was fine without douching. But you know what? Now that introduced, did I just say introduced?
Yeah.
Now that it's not a douching, is it? Introduced. I feel like that's the standard that people expect now, which is annoying. Again, as John Kung said,
bottoms rights.
Bottoms rights.
Oh, I think it's just because we're older and I have IBS now. So.
Yeah. All right, Gaijin Math is posting hashtag BLM, but has never dated or slept with a black or brown person. Do you know how many Gaijins of girl?
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
They're the same people who put the black square on their Instagram profile photo.
I'm like, yeah, and like in secret they swipe left. Is it left? Yeah, swipe left on black and brown folks, right? Seriously. But, you know, I brought this up with someone once. They're like, I don't know, I feel like I swipe right on black and brown people. They want to date me. I'm like, okay, well, fair. But at least you try.
That's the bare minimum that you can do. Swipe right on BIPOC folks.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Our Gaijin Math is having severance for 2 months and being unemployed for 9 and traveling for 4 months of it.
Oh my God, we were traveling for 4 months. I mean, we were in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico, we kept like, let's just keep extending this trip.
We extended it 3 times. I think I intended to stay in Mexico for 3 days. I think that was there for a week and a half.
Yeah. I mean, it was worth it, but mm-hmm. was it when it was, yeah, sure. I have to tell myself it's worth it because that's where my money went and we're out of money now.
We have to say that it was worth it because if it wasn't, oh my God, we just lost a lot of money.
I mean, at least we didn't get that sick. So at least there was that.
Yeah.
We didn't
we didn't have to spend so much on Pepto as everyone else did.
Okay, last one. Gaijin Math is dismantling the model minority myth, but calling South and Southeast Asians, quote unquote, ghetto.
Oh, ain't that the rudest?
It's the rudest. It is part of my inner child that has not healed. I'm still very bitter about this all through high school and through all my adult life. Stop saying Vietnamese people are ghetto. Stop saying brown Asian API folks are ghetto. Stop saying the word ghetto. So I don't know.
Times have changed. Grow up. I mean, I probably used to say that to you even, but I've grown.
I know, but I sleep well at night knowing that you used to make Vietnamese jokes at me, and then one day you took your 23andMe test and found out you were part Vietnamese. For a little bit, but you were part Vietnamese. And I'm like, karma's a bitch, isn't it?
Oh, technology. That was a good, 6 months where I'm like, oh my God, I'm Vietnamese. It was like a new identity I was trying to live into. Wild. Wild.
Okay, for the last time this season, it's time to be real. Mm-hmm. This is part of every episode, or most of the episodes, when we remember, where we literally word vomit whatever's on our minds, hearts, or holes.
Our holes.
Yeah. The most important part. Don't ya? Time for you to be real.
God, these are always so hard. And I was thinking about it. And so I guess it's a little multi-layered, be real, since it's the last episode. So it's sort of a collection of thoughts after this past year of doing all of these be reals and episodes with you. Because someone was like talking about their coming out story recently, which feels weird at this age to be talking about coming out stories. I felt like I was always talking about it in my like teens and 20s, but it seems so long ago now. And it made me think about the first time I was sad about a friend moving away. This is elementary school. And it got me thinking about, was I sad because I had a crush on him? And these were like the early feelings of like my like feelings for other men. Or was I just sad because we would never see each other again? Or both? Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. But it led me to think about like whatever that feeling was. As a kid, I didn't come home to my dinner table and get asked how my day was or how my friends were. Like, you know, friends didn't come over. My parents didn't know them. You know, one of my parents doesn't really speak English. And they've never asked, like, how my day is, or we talk about, like, how you're doing. You're just on your own. And I think it, like, normalized for me in my casual conversations skills is that I don't have those skills, like not to be able to hold conversations easily with people because I didn't grow up with that. I just ate at the dinner table. For all my parents knew, I didn't have any friends. And so to express my feelings, which is like, it's so the kind of way I grew up is so different than, so opposite of what we're trying to do on this show. Like, you know, we have our be real. We share our feelings. And which brings me to you. And because you partly represent a part of my life where I think I came into my own. And when I met y'all more than a decade ago, I used to always joke that, you know, I'm emotionless. And like I said earlier, I didn't like express those emotions or I didn't know how to feel them, which we've both been told by our therapist, you got to sit in your emotions. You need to feel them. Don't just like say, well, I have that emotion and, you know, over intellectualize it or something, feel it. And I didn't know how to do that. And I think knowing you and doing this podcast has helped me do that. And, you know, between our Molly talks and you being sometimes very aggressive with forcing some truth out of me, it's really changed like the way I talk to people. And sometimes you'll say on this, like, it's time for you to be real. And I get super flustered and I don't know what to do. And then I have to, because we're recording and it's sometimes like, oh God, just, and then like I go blank and I just like word vomit it out. But because I have that shit health insurance with being jobless, this podcast has been my free therapy. So it's great.
You know, I don't think you're bad at having conversation. I mean, I invited you to co-host this with me because I think you're great at having conversation. So maybe that was something that came later in life, but I didn't really don't see you that way. I think it's hilarious. Now when I think back, like last year, me just showing up and be like, Chris, we should do a podcast where we talk all about our feelings.
I was like, great. I thought you were still joking.
But it's been a great journey since. Well, thank you. I know I can be a lot about the emotions at times. I'm trying to be a little better about it. But, you know, after being in therapy, I just feel like I'm better about, like, keeping that away, keeping the weight of that on my friends and, like, actually going to a professional. Because I do think at some point I realized, like, okay, there's some point where I don't think my friends have the skills to help me through this. And I feel bad for them. So, you know, I sought professional help. And like you, I also am no longer going to therapy because I'm no longer into the income bracket to afford it. But my be real is that I'm weirdly feeling good. And I think our be reals can be good things too. Mm-hmm. And you know me, I'm just going to question it and overthink it. But I think I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm still facing a lot of uncertainty but there's like a feeling that I'm just going to be okay, which is kind of weird because usually I just be super anxious. And that's a very new feeling for me. And I'm like taking a break from therapy aside from like not being able to afford it anymore. And before everyone starts like blocking me or screaming, "Dear Lord, put Bao on high alert. He's no longer in therapy." He's gonna be I just felt like, you know, I got to a point where most days of the week I was doing fine. And when it was approaching that hour or that 45 minutes with my therapist, I was like trying to just like find, rack my brain and try to sit and try to find the things I want to work on. Then I just felt like every week we were just revisiting traumas that I don't want to stay in anymore. And I was ready to move on from. And so that's not to say, don't get me wrong, my therapist was amazing. Like, I love my therapist. He's also really hot, but
that's what's important. Love him.
In like a therapist patient way, not in like a weird transference, like weird like HBO prestige drama way. I just really do love him for what he's like done for me. Like, I've met him during the pandemic when I first kind of went through the first bout of depression. And then when I had those panic attacks and leaving my job, like, he really was the first person I called and he had space for me. He's so fucking good at that. But I'm out of that place now. And so I'm also out of the income bracket to afford it. So
I'm fixed.
And I know we're never fixed. I'm just ready for that break. And since then, I felt great. Like, I have no job, but, you know, I have my backup plans. I have no boyfriend. I'm just not in a rush. I'm running out of like my comfy pot of money. I can always move in with my dad or find a roommate. Or like, I think I spent a lot of this year really being angry at my parents for the past trauma because it was dug up. But now I've kind of accepted them for who they are and accepted like that's happened and I'm a different place now. But I needed to have gone through that awkward, uncomfortable part of processing it to get here. And so this feeling, I'm just going to enjoy it. Like, remember when Chris Zoe, when he came onto our podcast, and he said, like, he has always just been this person that walks around with the sun over his head while, like, other people, like his brother, like, who are anxious, walk around with, like, a rainy cloud over their head.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I feel like for now, like, there's a sun there over my head, and it's been cloudy for the last few years, and I'm just going to enjoy it. So my Be Real is this happy one. It doesn't always have to be sad. It's giving stillness. It's giving content. And thankfully, it's no longer giving fight or flight because I was in there for so long. And I'm just going to enjoy it.
It's okay to be happy.
Yes. Yes. And what surprises me, like, is that I'm happy during a time where I really have nothing else that I used to, like, rely on to be happy about. Mm-hmm. And that feels good.
Yeah. It's an interesting way to put it. Like, there's so many things that we have been taught that we should be happy about. Like, you had a well-paying job before and you had, like, a lot of things going for you, but, you were saying that, you know, sometimes you weren't, like, you know, feeling it. And now, just like you said, there's all these things that might seem like aren't working, but you are really feeling yourself and I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just going to enjoy it. I know this shit comes in waves. I could be completely depressed tomorrow. I could be trying new haircuts on AI things and paying $17 for them. But for now, I'm good.
Oh, I love that. Oh, and with that, it's our last episode of the season. How did you feel about that, Bao?
I feel like we finally found our groove in the last episode.
Last episode.
I mean, girl, go back and listen to that first episode.
Well, we were drunk.
We were drunk, but it was still kind of fun to listen to in a way. But yeah, we found like this other groove where we're just not, I can't, as afraid anymore that people would talk shit about us because we openly talk shit about ourselves, or like people would gossip about us. Like, we just kind of like put our whole lives in front of everything. So I think like everything just feels okay.
Yeah, they are talking shit about us, but
for sure,
I don't care. I don't care. Except when you're catfishing me on Grindr. Please don't do that. That's not cute. But thank you to all the Gaysians who submitted questions. I hope our advice doesn't ruin your life.
I feel compelled to say, as a disclaimer, you who submitted questions, by listening to our rants, you agree that any advice you follow is of your own free will, and we are not responsible for any additional therapy fees you incur as a result. Just had to put it out there.
Mm-hmm. We are not professionals. We are not licensed. So
we're not even employed.
dating anyone? So many questions about dating.
I know. Cancel us.
Oh, I'm really going to miss doing this.
I know. I will too. But I think we're going to enjoy our much needed break. And we will be back next year because we already have a lot of ideas, a lot of topics, a lot of guests lined up for season two already. So I'm excited for that. But I'm also excited for the break.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean y'all can't send submissions for topic ideas. You can follow us and send those ideas to Literally Gaysians on Instagram and TikTok. And you can find me on Instagram at meetmesouthofmarket.gif.
And you can follow me, Bao Bao Bowser with a Z, on Instagram and TikTok.
All right, to send us off, let's answer this question submitted by a listener named Eric. What was your highlight of the season and why?
I mean, I feel like I have a couple of highlights. One was, I forgot which episode it was Panda Dulce, when you had your drag sister on, mm-hmm. and she talked about the run-in she had with the Proud Boys reading books at a library in drag. And that mm-hmm. was going to be the last time she told that story because it was so hard for her. And, you know, we checked with her a couple of times if she wanted to do it. She did want to do it. But it made me feel like, well, what a precious, it was such a generous thing for her to do. And yeah. an amazing thing that she kind of went through and grew through that says so much about, like, gay or queer life in our country right now, but through this Gaysian lens. And that, like, gay, queer people are at the front lines of these really recent issues and we never get really seen. I thought that was, it's in an early episode, so we didn't have that big of an audience then. But I would say, like, that's one of those big highlights for me of, like, we were able to, like, create a platform where she could tell this story. And it mm-hmm. changed me a lot when she told it. Yeah. And
it was painful, you know, for her, too.
Painful for her, yeah. And, but she was willing to do it. And we also had fun. Like, we also had fun on that episode. And that's, like, I feel like that sums up, like, sort of, like, what we try to do here. And so if you're new to this podcast and you haven't listened to that episode with Panda Dulce, I'd say, like, go back and listen to that episode because it's one of the highlights of the season for me.
Oh, that kind of actually reminds me of the episode we did with Kevin Kwong, who had gone through, he was, like, you know, the Gaysian face of the Mpox epidemic. And he was so exhausted from talking to these journalists who all were skewing his message, trying to get mm-hmm. it out there. And so we were the last time he talked about that topic too. And mm-hmm. that kind of, like, it made me feel kind of special that we could convince our friends to talk about these very painful topics for them. And I guess that's sort of, like, not the point, but part of what we kept doing with our Be Reals, asking people to do stuff that's so painful and talk about their feelings. Uh-huh. Because, like I was saying before, I didn't grow up talking, and I've said it many times through this season, like, oh, I don't like my parents. I grew up, like, not talking to them. We don't connect. But, you know, that is part of our experience. Like, some people's, like, immigrant experiences. And I'm going to be greedy. All of the season has been a highlight because it forces me to both express feelings that I honestly never would express before and mm-hmm. get to hear from other people and force them to do it too. So, like, these are not everyday conversations you have when you're at a bar. These have all felt very special.
Yeah. No, I feel the same.
So all of them are my special favorite episodes.
Me too. And, I think I felt like, oh, I know the popular episodes are going to be like the rave episodes, the HomePod episodes, or the episodes with really famous guests. But the episode that really surprised me of how popular it was the one about tough feelings as our parents age, when we just spent an hour trashing our parents, basically. Like, not just that, but, like, really rawly confronting the trauma with our parents, but also the weird tough feeling of, like, still feeling like you needed to take care of him. But when I look back at that episode, I think it's really interesting because I don't think we're we're there anymore. And then like we're at that place of rawness with our parents. I think we've grown and evolved and actually moved to a lot more toward acceptance with our parents. But it's just interesting when you listen back to the episode, which is a good episode. You should go back and listen to it if you haven't, and really feel like, oh, you can share something and you won't. It's interesting to look at that and realize some hard feelings don't stay there forever.
Yeah.
They're temporary.
Both good and bad feelings will pass.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it is very interesting. So go back and listen to those episodes, because for now we're off to our break. We love you guys. We're going to miss you guys, but we'll be right back.
Yeah. Hopefully by next season, we'll be gainfully employed, and maybe we'll even have better special effects because we can pay for them.
I know. We have some things in store, so we're excited. But in the meantime, love you guys. Bye.
See you next time.